Good morning, Blackhawk Church. Good to be with you this morning. My name is Joel, if we haven't met. Let me invite you to stand with us here in the room. And if you're joining us online, sing out. We're going to worship our King together. Sing together.
Sometimes you gotta dance through the darkness, sing through the fire, praise when it don't make sense. Sometimes you gotta stare down the giant, worship from the lion's den. Sometimes you gotta shout it from the mountain, louder in the valley, trusting that he's gonna get you there. Sometimes you gotta welcome the wonder, wait for the answer, worship with your hands in the air. I'll praise you anywhere. Praise, give him praise, give him praise in the highest. Praise, give him praise, give him praise in the highest. He is worthy, yes, he is worthy of all of the praise. Sometimes you've got to praise in the prison, cry out to heaven, shout it till the door swing wide. Sometimes you've got to stand on your shackles, brave in the battle, worship with your hands held high. I'll praise you anywhere. Praise, give him praise, give him praise in the highest. Praise, give him praise, give him praise in the highest. He is worthy, yes, he is worthy of all of the praise. Give him praise, give him praise in the highest. Praise, give him praise, give him praise in the highest. He is worthy, yes, he is worthy of all of the praise.
Faithful all my life, blessings day and night, countless reasons why. I'll praise you anywhere, every promise kept, goodness every step, each and every breath. I'll praise you anywhere. Faithful all my life, blessings day and night, countless reasons why. I'll praise you anywhere, every promise kept, goodness every step, each and every breath. I'll praise you anywhere. Praise, give him praise, give him praise in the highest. Praise, give him praise, give him praise in the highest. He is worthy, yes, he is worthy of all of the praise. I'll praise you anywhere.
still call me friend. Cause the God of a mountain is the God of a valley. And there's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me
this next tune. It's one we've been introducing over the last couple of months because it speaks to the faithfulness of God. As we look past at what he's done, we can count on him to be with us and walk with us in what's to come. So I invite you to sing it out. I've seen my fair share of ups and downs. I've walked some hard miles on shaky ground, but from the place that I am standing now, it's clear to see that you were right there with me. All you've ever been
all you ever will be, all you ever are is faithful, faithful. At least a million times I've seen it with my own eyes. All you've ever been is faithful, faithful. I've had plenty and I've seen drought. I've been on fire and I've burned out. But from the place that I am standing now, it's clear to see that you were.
Sing this together as Vicky leads us. God, we're thankful today we stand on your promises that you are good, that you are eternal, that you never change. So God, as we walk through this life and we hit circumstances that shake us and rattle us, we're thankful that you are a God who's faithful to walk with us in it, that you aren't surprised by it, and God, that you carry us through. Would you teach us what it means to follow you and to trust you and to know that you are for us? God, we love you. We claim this morning in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. And hello, everyone. Welcome to church. Welcome to those of you in the room with me and those of you online. Everyone here, feel free to grab a seat. And hey, if I haven't met you before, my name is Lynn. I'm on staff here. I work with our groups and with our marriage ministry. And I'm so glad that you've chosen to be here today and that we get to do this thing together this morning. Hey, if you are new, we are so glad that you're here. We would love to meet you. And so I just want to let you know, after the service today, go ahead right outside these doors. We have a Next Steps area. You can stop by out there. We just have something small that we'd love to give you. It's our way of saying, hey, we're so glad that you are here today. Thank you so much for joining. Well, it is August, it is still summertime and a beautiful summer, and here around Blackhawk, we have so many opportunities ongoing for you to get connected into community here at Blackhawk. And so this morning, I just wanna share about some of those opportunities with you, and I also wanna let you know that a really easy way to find out about what's happening at our church and ways to get involved is just by going to our website. It's right on the home page. When you scroll all the way down to the bottom, there's a list of upcoming events. And so right now, a few that I want to highlight. The first one is actually happening today here at our Braderway site. We are having a baptism service. It'll be at 6 o'clock tonight, and we are so looking forward to just hearing the stories of how God has been at work in our community, hearing stories of how people have gotten connected into faith in Jesus, and now they've chosen to take the step of getting baptized. So we hope you'll join us tonight. That is going to be outside, so definitely plan to bring a chair or a blanket or something to sit on. Another event coming up I want to tell you about is our 20s and 30s worship night. That will be happening on Wednesday, August 21st at our Fitchburg location at 6:30 p.m. And so if you are in your 20s and 30s, or maybe you know someone who is, definitely let them know about our 20s and 30s worship night. That'll be a great place to get connected. I've got a couple more that I want to hit just to let you know today, and there's even more on our website. But another event coming up, we have the Asian American Ministry Picnic. That is going to be on Saturday, August 24th at 11 a.m. at Taylor Park. So it's going to be a picnic, there's going to be pickleball, it'll be a lot of fun. So if you are Asian American and you are looking to meet other Asian Americans who are a part of our church community, we hope that you'll join us at the picnic. Finally, we realized that there are a lot of people here, like I even see some of you already today, who work at Epic. And we know that it's summertime, so there's lots of you who are moving here. Maybe you just got here for Epic. Maybe some of you are watching online right now. You are like checking out churches, and you're hearing me right now going, wow, I literally moved here to work at Epic. Well, we have an event. We have an Epic picnic coming up, and that will be on Sunday, August 25th at noon here at Braderway Way. And our hope is just to create a space where if you work at Epic, you can meet other people who believe and who also are working alongside you. So that was a mouthful. Those are a lot of great events, and there are even more. So be sure to check out our website so you can learn about some of these different events taking place. Finally, I want to take a minute to just share with you a little bit about one of our church partnerships. Something that I love about our church is that we have lots of different partners right here in our own city, and we also have partners that we work with all around the world. And today, I want to talk to you about Food for the Hungry Bolivia. Okay, Food for the Hungry, they are an amazing organization, and their goal is to actually eliminate poverty by walking with some of the most vulnerable people on the globe, and to walk with them and to help them, to help resource them and to do life in that way. And so at Blackhawk, we have actually worked with Food for the Hungry Bolivia since 2017. Specifically, we've come alongside a community, La Hastambo, in Bolivia, and we wanna tell you a little bit about this and think maybe you might wanna get involved too. So the way that we get involved is through child sponsorship. And by sponsoring a child, it means you get to build relationship with that child, also with the family, and by doing so, we're actually helping to further equip Food for the Hungry in the great work that they are already doing. Things like helping people find access to food, to clean water, medical services, and so much more. So if you are interested in learning more about any of our partners, but specifically about Food for the Hungry, we would love to talk with you today. So please be sure to stop by our Next Steps area before you leave. You can learn about it there. You can also check things out on our website. But today, we are beginning a new series, which I'm so excited about, and we have a message that we're going to hear from Pastor Chris Kopp. So with that, let's go to Chris.
All right, good morning. How's everyone doing this morning? Good. Well, hey, welcome to those in the room and to everyone joining us at all sites and venues. So good to be together in this way. My name is Chris, and I'm the site pastor here at the Brader Way location. Hey, you just saw that we're starting a series on prayer. We don't normally do this. This isn't normally our routine, but can I just start with praying for us before we dig in today? Would that be okay? All right, I'm going to do it anyway. So here we go. God, thanks for this morning and this opportunity just to be gathered as your people. And I know that we're here for all sorts of different reasons this morning. But God, would you meet each of us wherever we're at, whatever it is that we need from you to be challenged or encouraged or to experience hope? God, would we experience you this morning? And God, there's nothing inherently powerful about anything that we say up on this platform unless you are in it and a part of it. So Holy Spirit, would you fill me and allow me just to speak the words that you would have for us this morning? We pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right, thanks for doing that. Well, many of you know that I grew up just north of here in Wanakee. Shout out to all my Wanakee people here in the room and watching. All right, yeah, there's a lot of you. That's awesome. Growing up in Wanakee, I worked a couple different jobs as a soccer referee and then at the Piggly Wiggly grocery store really briefly. And if you're not familiar with small town Wisconsin grocery store names, that is real. It is called the Piggly Wiggly. But as soon as I turned 16, I started a job working at a greenhouse called Orchids by the Acres, just north of Middleton as you head out of town on Highway Q. Some of you probably shopped there back in the day. The store has since changed hands. It was sold several years ago. But at the time, it was owned by the family of one of my closest friends throughout elementary school and even into high school. They were like a second family to me, and I loved working there. It was like the perfect job for a high school kid, working with my friends, with my brother for a season, working outside. I got to drive tractors around and build greenhouses and tear greenhouses down and just be outside a lot of the time. I even got to ride the riding lawnmower and mow the grounds a couple times a week. Now, they said that they didn't have a favorite employee. Like, you have to say that, right? Kind of like parents. But I was the only one entrusted to mow the lawn on the grounds, so I knew better. Now, before anyone comes and asks me questions about plants later, let me just spare you the time. I likely have no idea. I mainly did physical labor. Although, at one point, a woman came in holding onto her orchid. They need to be repotted every so often, and so she wanted it to be repotted. And she said, can you repot this for me? We looked at it, and we said, ma'am, I think you're going to be okay here. She said, really? Like, it's been a couple years. I could have sworn, like, it needed to be repotted. And we're like, ma'am, that's a fake plant. Now, there's a chance that whoever that was is here today. Or like you've done that before, and if that's the case, no judgment. Fake plants are really realistic these days, right? right? I know, fake plant, they are really realistic. But again, I know enough to know when it's a fake plant. Other than that, you probably better Google it, so don't ask me plant questions later. Now, one morning, as he would often do, one of the owners, Stan, came and he would give me a to-do list of things to do before he went scurrying around the grounds doing different things. And the first one on there simply said, remove the shrub from next to greenhouse number 3. Simple enough. So I got out my gloves and my shovel, and I just started going to town. Like, I was a multi-sport athlete in great shape. Like, how hard could it be, right? Well, a couple hours into the hot August sun, it was probably about this time of year, I had dug a deep hole, I was stuck in this rut, but the thing was not moving. I even broke a shovel at one point, had to go get another one, and came back. And at this point, I'm getting frustrated. I'm like, what is Stan trying to do to me? I've been digging and digging forever, and this stinking shrub has not moved an inch. Well, he comes by around lunchtime, several hours later, right? And he looks at me, like covered in sweat, and the hole in the ground, and me with my shovel and a broken shovel off to the side, and he kind of starts laughing. I'm like glad he's getting a kick out of this point, right? And he's like, Chris, what are you doing? Your hands a shovel? Like, go back to the shed, get a chain, put it around the bottom, and then pull it out with, get this, a tractor. Are you kidding me? I'd been working and working all morning, and the entire time I needed to be using a tractor. Okay, in full disclosure, it was not nearly this big, and it was much older than this, but that wouldn't have been as dramatic. But I didn't have the right tools for the job. I was quite literally stuck in a rut with a hole, and nothing was moving, nothing was changing. Now, probably all of us can relate to that at some level, like trying to do a project, whether around home or at school or something like that, without the right tools. But today, I wonder if some of us have been like trying to navigate life in general without the right tools. Like we feel like we've been digging and digging, and we're working and working, but we're getting nowhere, nothing is changing, and we're wondering if this is all that there is. Some of you, maybe that's why you're here this morning, because you've been trying a lot of things, searching in a lot of places for significance or meaning or peace or joy, and just nothing is working. You've been digging and striving, and nothing is changing. That's my story of how I came to know Jesus. And then some of us, we've been following Jesus for a long time, and we've been doing all the things, and we've been reading our Bibles and all kinds of things. But if we're honest, it feels like we're in a place where like nothing is changing. Nothing is growing. Maybe like we've been watering a plant that's actually fake. Like nothing is going on. Our relationship with God seems like one-dimensional, and we're wondering like where is he at? Is this all that there is? Anyone ever feel like that? How do we get to that place where it feels like we're working and working and digging and striving, but nothing is changing? Well, around the year 400 AD, a prominent North African theologian by the name of Saint Augustine, he once wrote this. He says, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you." So in other words, like we were created for a deep and meaningful relationship with the God who created us. And when we're not experiencing that, like things, they tend to get way out of whack. And what I want to suggest today is that prayer is the main tool that helps us to engage in our relationship with God. It's not the only tool that we have, and it's not a magic potion. It's not a magic equation that automatically allows us to experience him and his presence. But we can't have relationship with God without it. If you want to experience God, pray. Is it easy? No, not always. Are we sometimes going to wonder, like, if God is actually listening, if he's doing anything? Yeah, absolutely. But if we want to experience God, we have to pray. So today we're starting off this four-week prayer series where we're going to learn a lot about prayer, but unashamedly, we also want to just motivate us to pray. That's my hope today, is to take a step to engage with him, to add that tool to our toolbox. So today I'm going to kick us off and talk about what prayer is, a little bit maybe about what it's not, and then set up some of the tools and the things we're going to be doing as a church. In week two, Pastor Charles is going to be talking about confession and what that has to do with prayer. Week three, Matt will be up here talking about why we pray together. Like we can often pray on our own, in solitude, but like, does God do something different when we gather together as a church and pray? What's the power in that? He's going to talk about that. And then week four, Chris will wrap us up by talking about how we listen to God. So that's where we're headed. I'm super excited for this series and what it is that God might do. So let's get started. Let's jump in. This is a great passage to begin with as we're starting off a series on prayer. So let's turn to Matthew 6 if you have a device or a Bible in front of you. It'll also be on the screen. And we're going to look at what's called as the Lord's Prayer in verses 9 through 13. So Jesus is about to give his disciples an example of how to pray. And this comes right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, one of the most famous teachings in all of history, and this is what Jesus says. And actually, let's read this together out loud. Can we do that? Let's do that together. "This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Amen. Well, now every couple years we tend to preach through this in like a lot of detail, breaking down specific phrases and even words and that kind of thing. We're not exactly going to do that today. I want to stay more at like a 30,000 foot level of talking about an overview of what prayer is, but we have previous messages along those lines on our resource page. But the first thing I want us to notice at a high level is that just two words into the actual prayer, Our Father, we see that for Jesus, prayer is all about relationship. We pray in order to engage in a relationship with God. Here's one definition of prayer and what it is from pastor and author John Mark Comer. He says that prayer is simply the medium through which we communicate and commune with God. The practice of prayer is learning to set aside dedicated time to intentionally be with God in order to become like him and partner with him in the world. So notice, again, how prayer is all about relationship. It's the tractor that powers everything else. Everything begins and ends with relationship, our connectedness, our transformation, our growth. So in summary, prayer helps us to engage in relationship with God. It is for our transformation, and it invites us to partner with him in his kingdom work. And you can leave that here for just a second, because we see all of these things in the Lord's Prayer. It begins and ends with worship and relationship. It gives space for personal and communal prayers, asking for the things we need, and there's prayers of confession that lead to our transformation. And your kingdom come, your will be done. It invites us to partner with him in the work that he's doing. But everything begins and ends with relationship. Now, let's go back to the Lord's Prayer for just a second. Can we put up that scripture again? Notice how for Jesus, prayer also isn't just about asking for the things that we think that we ourselves need. It's more than halfway through before we even begin to pray for ourselves. Like for him, prayer isn't just about like praying for health and family and financial security or for a parking spot when we're downtown trying to find something when the farmer's market is happening. That's just a transaction. That's not a relationship. He wants to move us beyond that to be able to pray in a variety of different ways. So Jesus models for us that we can come to him with all sorts of different kinds of prayers, that no matter our circumstances or the highs or the lows or the things that we're going through, we have a way to engage in him, with him in relationship. In fact, there's some people estimate about 650 prayers in the entirety of the Bible. I don't know how many I thought there would be, but that's way more, 650. And we see the same thing that Jesus is modeling here, that there's all sorts of different ways to engage with God. Cries for justice, thanksgiving, gratitude, confession, simply being raw and even angry, but being able to express that. Because God, he values prayer because he wants a relationship with us. He wants to draw near to us and connect with us, and so he's given us the tools and the ability to do that. Again, if you want to experience God, pray. But I also know that for some of us, we have like a complicated relationship with prayer, right? I'll never forget, it's been about 7.5 years now that our daughter Addie was born. And she was a great baby, but in those early years, my wife and I would trade off getting up early in the night and feeding her and putting her back to sleep and all of those kinds of things. And I'll never forget one night when like she just would not go back to sleep. Like anything that I was trying was not working. And so I prayed and I prayed and I cried out to God, like asking him to move and to just help this baby go back to sleep, but to no avail. It just wasn't working. And maybe it had something to do with my sleep deprivation in that season, but I just remember being like really upset, even angry with God. Like this would be such a simple prayer to answer, like just make my daughter go back to sleep. And eventually it began to just go deeper and deeper. Like, God, if you can't even do that, like how are you gonna answer even bigger, seemingly more consequential prayers. Like, what's even the point of praying? Now, what I'm not saying is that every time God doesn't answer a prayer, that he's simply trying to help us to go deeper and to pray more. That would be maddening, right? So many of us have prayed and prayed for a family member or a friend to come to know Jesus, or for the healing of someone that didn't come. And when the answer is no, it's the sort of thing that can lead us to question God's goodness and his faithfulness. I've been there, I've experienced that. And I wish we had a ton of time to talk about unanswered prayer. We just don't this morning. But again, there's previous messages online from Pastor Chris in particular that gets into that. But in my own life, you guys, God has used moments like that to help me dig in and to press into him, to grow in a relationship with him. That night in particular, I was awake, so what else was I going to do? I kept digging in and pressing in and just being really raw and honest with God about ways, even in the rest of my life, in more substantial ways where it didn't feel like he was showing up in my life and was letting me down. And he led me to experience this more raw and authentic relationship with him and to experience his presence. But if God had answered every single prayer in that season and answered those prayers that night, I never would have moved beyond just asking him for things into actually deeper into relationship. So yes, we pray for things like babies to go to sleep and our health and our well-being. All of that's good and necessary. It's right there in the Lord's Prayer. God cares about the intimate details of our lives. But if that's all we ever pray, it's too small. God wants to take us beyond just leveraging him for the things that we need to actually experiencing him in relationship with him. How are we doing with that? I know that that's kind of a hard thing. Most of us have prayers that have gone unanswered. It's maybe something that, as you're sitting there right now, that's even just the major struggle that you're dealing with. And so actually, can we just do this? I know, again, we don't normally do this, but can I just pray for us and for those in particular that are struggling with that? There's still more to come. I'm not done yet, but let me just pause and pray for us. God, I pray for all of us in this moment, but especially those who are wrestling with feeling like you're not showing up in a healing that won't come, or praying for maybe it's an adult kid for them to come to know Jesus or to turn their lives around, and it just seems like you're not doing anything. God, remind us, as only you can do in this moment and in the weeks ahead, that you are in fact good and faithful. Help us to experience your presence in some way, even if these answers or these prayers still go unanswered. But would you draw near to us and comfort us as we're working through these things? We just long to meet with you, and even in the midst of those things, to experience relationship with you. Amen. Thanks for doing that. Well, one of the other things that's probably the hardest thing for me in my life right now that can be a barrier to prayer is simply just busyness, right? Like, we're frantically running around, we have busy schedules, all sorts of different things. I've got kids in gymnastics and sports and all those different kinds of things. I'm sure other parents can relate. But our relationship with God is like any other relationship. Like, if we're just constantly on our phones or being entertained or running to and fro and just doing all of these different things, it's just not going to work. We need to be able to slow down and to live life at a pace that's conducive to hearing from him. Sometimes in my own life, I'll begin to feel like God he's pretty distant. Like, why is he not speaking to me? And I kind of begin to get like frustrated and, again, a little bit angry with him. Like, what are you doing? Like, where are you? But then when I stop to kind of like look at my calendar for the day or the past week, or, gosh, that pesky, like, screen time thing that counts all of that up, it begins to be really clear that I've been the one that's drowning him out. So some of us, as we begin this kind of prayer journey together over the next month, we just need to start with slowing down. God, help us to slow down. So at this point, we've talked a little bit about what prayer is, a little bit about what it is not. But I want to just get really practical for a moment and talk about some of the what's and the when's and the where's and all of those kinds of things. So the first thing to try to figure out as we begin this journey of prayer is when and where we're going to pray. Now, I know that for some of us, we think of the person who gets up at like 5 a.m. in the morning before anyone else gets up, and that's the time that they pray. Maybe that works for you, which is awesome. As a parent of young kids, oftentimes they beat me to it. They get up before I do, and so that just hasn't worked. But prayer is something that we can do anytime and anywhere, and the more that we can begin to form prayers and habits of when we're going to pray throughout the day, that begins to be really helpful. So maybe for you, that's like praying as you're doing the dishes every single night, or as you're putting the kids to bed, or at the end of the night as your head hits the pillow, or as you're taking the first sips of coffee or tea in the morning, or every time you're driving, or every time you're mowing the lawn, or you're walking to class at the UW or Edgewood, or you're walking across campus at Epic. How can we begin to form habits of prayer in even just kind of the monotonous, mundane things of life where we begin to engage with Him? You can even like set a reminder on your phone for the same time every single day just to remind you to stop and pause, even if it's just for a couple moments. But the goal is to just get into some habits and some routines of prayer. And the example that Jesus gives us is that we don't have to come to Him with like a lot of words and for a long time, but that it can actually be really powerful just to come at various times throughout the day and even just short little bursts and be able to come and pray. So that's when and where. The other thing that's helpful to consider is what we're going to pray. And to make this really easy, we have created a 34 days of prayer prayer guide that will help us as a church dig into this. There's going to be all sorts of prayers that you'll find on there. It actually starts today. Today is the first day of that. And there's all sorts of prayers, some of the kinds that we're going to talk about in the next few weeks of this series, like confession and trying to listen to God. But we're going to pray for our community, for our neighbors, for people to come to know Jesus, for justice in the world, for all kinds of things. And it might actually stretch us to pray different types of prayers than we're used to praying. Now, there's an adult version and a family version, and we have those in a few different languages. So as you're leaving today, you can grab those on the way out. They will also be online to be able to download or to print off as well. But here's my encouragement. As one of your pastors, I want to challenge each and every one of us to join in on those 34 days of prayer together. Because imagine like how powerful that could be, knowing that a few thousand people around the Madison area and Dane County in particular are all praying for the same things every single day. So maybe you have like a really robust prayer life and you like to pray in a lot of different other ways, or you want to learn some new prayer practices and you're going to head to our resource page to do that. That's all great too, but start with this. Let's all do this together and trust God that He would begin to shape our community and who we are as a church as we do that together. So I encourage you to check that out. And then why 34 days of prayer? That seems oddly specific, right? That's not like a nice round number. Because this prayer guide is going to take us through this month of this prayer series and then on through the second week of September, where starting September 9th, we are going to do an all-church week of prayer. So all sites and online as well, there will be opportunities every single day that week to come and to pray for different things. So we'll pray some of the things that were on that prayer guide. It just simply has these simple prayer prompts to pray for our world and our church and for people to come to know Jesus and all those different kinds of things. And it's not going to be overly programmed or official or anything like that, but we just want to simply be together, to gather together, and to pray. And I can't wait to see what happens. Like, we're going to be all together, young and old. Kids are more than welcome to come. We'll have some activities for them to engage in. And people from different cultures and languages, and we're just all going to get together and pray for the same things. And honestly, I think God could begin to use that to shape us as individuals as we learn from each other and hear the sorts of prayers that other people are praying. But man, imagine again what could happen in our church as he begins to move in us and through us and shape us as we come together in prayer. So don't miss that. And then at the end of the week, we're going to cap it all off with an all-church worship night here at Brader Way to celebrate what it is that God has done over those several days, and then to propel us into what's next throughout the rest of the fall as well. So make sure you get that on your calendars. You're not going to want to miss that. I'm really excited for what it is that God might do. All right, so we've talked about all of these different things, all of these different tools, all of these different resources. We are certainly going to learn a lot about prayer throughout these weeks. But that's not enough. Unashamedly, the goal of this series isn't just to help us learn or to gain knowledge, but to actually do it, to press in and pray. In my life, over the last year or so, I've been using this app called Duolingo. Anyone used that before? To learn some different languages. I have learned parts of Mandarin and Spanish in the past, and so I've been using it to learn that. I've got, like, not to brag, but like a 300-day streak going. I'm feeling pretty good about that. I've even bought, like, some grammar books. Like, I'm taking this seriously. I'm digging in. I want to learn and to learn these different languages. And some of you, you're in the same boat, right? We have so many people in our church who are learning English as a second language, which is amazing. But for both of us, for all of us, like, at some point, we need to just, like, set down the apps and the books, and we need to step out and do it. We actually got to start talking to people. And it's the same thing with God. Eventually, we've got to start, like, actually praying and talking to him and engaging with him. In my own life, going back about 6 years ago, my family was packing up from Colorado in the midst of a hard situation. We moved 1,000 miles back to Madison. We had a newborn a few months after that. And then in March of 2020, that wasn't a great season, right? COVID hits. And it felt like as everything was shutting down, like God was kind of challenging me that maybe I'd been really busy doing a lot of things for him and running around and doing a lot of activities, but maybe I wasn't actually experiencing relationship with him as much as I thought. So I set out to change that. See, I'd always desired a better prayer life. I always wanted that. But when this stuff was happening and it felt like God was distant and I wasn't connecting with him, I actually tried some things. So I began to learn about different ways to pray, about how to come to him in silence and just centering myself on who he is and reminding myself that he is good and he's in control throughout the day by just simply being silent and present with him. I learned the prayer of examine, which we do around here from time to time, which simply helps to look back on the day that has come before and to reflect on the ways that he's been present and at work in our lives and the ways that he's challenging us. And I learned prayers of gratitude and thanksgiving, just in short bursts throughout the day, to come to him in the midst of all of the anxiety and the negativity, just to be thankful and grateful. And as I did that, God began to use it in a way that I didn't expect. Because rather than prayer feeling like mundane and something that I had to do, I actually started to like look forward to it every single day. Looking forward to coming to him in silence or reflecting with him at the end of the day. And in the midst of the anxiety of the COVID season, like wondering what was going to happen to my family if we were going to get sick, what was going to happen financially, and all these different worries that were floating around in the world, God simply gave me his presence and allowed me to experience him and relationship with him. And if I didn't have those tools, if I didn't have the ability to come to him in that way, I don't know what that season would have been like. It probably would have been like 20 years ago, digging and digging and feeling like I was stuck in a rut and not changing. So why do we pray? I can't promise that God is going to do the miraculous, though I certainly hope that as we pray together over these next few weeks, that God shows up in amazing ways. But what he does promise is himself. So do you want that? Do you want a robust relationship with the God of the universe? Are you done with the restlessness and the striving and the digging and the digging and breaking shovel after shovel, but just still returning to the same things? Are you ready to choose another way, a new tool. Because you guys, we know that those other things don't work. Maybe I'm just preaching to myself, but we can busy ourselves with social media and with work and entertain ourselves with TV and all these different things, but it never leads to a life of contentment and peace and joy. We've chased after sex and power and work and positions, and if we just had the right spouse or the right house or all of these different things, that will make us satisfied, but it never works. So you ready to choose something different today? If the answer is yes, it's time to dig in and to pray as we go into these next few weeks together. God wants to take us deeper as individuals and as a church to experience him and his presence and relationship with him. And imagine, like, as a few thousand people around this area are meeting with him every single day and experiencing his presence, like, what would happen in our families and in our neighborhoods and in our church as we're all experiencing him and being with him? Because when we sit with Jesus and we experience him, things change. So you never know what he might unleash in you, what things he might transform that you never thought were possible, the ways that he might use you if you don't give it a shot. So that's my encouragement today, is to dig in, to take a step, just to pray over these next few weeks. If you want to experience God, pray. In just a moment, the hosts in each different venue are going to come up, and they're going to lead us in a time of prayer and reflection and eventually the Lord's Supper together. But let me pray for us one last time. God, thank you for today and this opportunity just to be reminded that you, the God of the universe who created all things, you long to be with us and to have a relationship with us. And you've given us tools to be able to experience you and to encounter you in a powerful way. So God, help each of us take that step, whatever that looks like for us, to be able to engage with you, whether it's to learn a new tool or a new practice or whatever it is, but that we would be able to meet with you and experience you as we go into this week. So God, we love you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
As Chris said, we are going to be taking time to pray and reflect together. But first, I wanted to just come back to communion. As you came into the space today, you should have received the elements for communion. If you didn't receive those elements, just go ahead and raise your hand right now, and our ushers in the space, they'll find you and make sure that you get what it is that you need. But right now, we want to take time as a community, as a church, to come before God, to put into practice this prayer language, really, that Chris has been talking about, that we would take time to come before him as we get ready for these 34 days of prayer, this journey we're about to embark on. And so in a moment, the first prompts from the prayer guide are going to come up on the screens, and we just encourage you to take time. Don't try to speed through it. You're not in a rush. Just be with God. And consider, what are the things in this season as you think about your relationship with God and your relationship with others, as you think about where you're at in life, what is it that you need right now? What is it that you hope for? Let's take time together for a few minutes, and then I'll come back up and pray for us, and we will move forward with communion.
seconds until I open up my eyes. I hear your invitation. You have been so patient. So, Lord, this is my reply. I want to walk with you and talk with you, hear you speaking, feel you breathing, walk with you and talk with you, hear you speaking, feel you.
As we get ready to participate together in communion, let me just say that here at Blackhawk, we believe that communion is for anyone who has come to the point of placing their faith in Jesus. So even if you've come to that point today of belief, we invite you to participate. And for those of you who may be here today going, you know what, I'm not really sure where I land on that yet. I'm not really sure what I believe. We're so glad that you're here, and we hope that you'll continue to use this time to pause and reflect as we've been doing already in the service. But communion is this incredible thing that we get to do as the church, that people have been doing for thousands of years, because we get to come together and remember what it is that Christ did for us when he came and he died and he made a way for us through faith in him to have right relationship with God. Communion, it's all about remembering. It's about slowing down and come to him and remembering what it is that he has done. And so what we know is that Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, was gathered with his closest people. He was with his followers, the disciples, and they gathered in this upper room where they were having the Passover meal together. This meal that they were familiar with, they'd done it before, but at this time, Jesus infused this new meaning into it. And at one point during the meal, he took the bread and he said, "This is my body broken for you." And after he gave thanks, he said, "Whenever you eat of this, whenever you do this, do this in remembrance of me." So as a church, let's take and eat. In a similar way, after supper, Jesus took the cup and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Whenever you drink of this, do this in remembrance of me." Let's take and drink together. Thank you.
invite you to make this our prayer. I want to know you, not just about you.
I want to know you, not just about you. I want to be with you, not just around you. I want to love you, not just be loved by you. I want to walk with you.
Try that with us.
I want to know you, not just about you. I want to be with you, not just around you. Just be loved by you. I wanna walk with you.
Would you stand with us? Let's try that chorus together. We're having some problems for our screen, so just bear with us.
I wanna walk with you and talk with you.
Pray with me. God, thank you so much for this chance to be reminded, God, that you want relationship with us, that you love us, you want to know us. You don't want us to just know about you. You want relationship with us. And relationship happens through prayer. And so, God, we thank you for what you're inviting us to. We thank you that we don't have to go anywhere to reach you. We can pray right where we at with whatever words we have. We can pray in our heads. We can pray out loud. We can pray in the car. We can pray while we do the dishes. It's endless. It's just about connecting with you, Jesus. And so I pray that you would move us. I pray that you would use individual people in this room to move families, to move neighborhoods, to move classrooms and workplaces as we get ready to pray. For 34 days on this journey, God, I pray that we would come out looking differently as individuals and looking differently as a church community as we press in towards you through prayer. We love you, Jesus. We pray these things in your name. Amen. What an awesome invitation before all of us today to join in on these 34 days of prayer. You guys, this prayer guide, it's incredible. And so I want to invite you and remind you that before you leave today, get a copy of the prayer guide and join in, make a plan, talk to people in your world, talk to a friend, talk to a roommate, find someone who will join you as we go through these 34 days together. I want to remind you about our baptism service happening tonight at 6 p.m. Can't wait to see you there. And right now, our benediction comes from Romans chapter 15, verse 13, which says this: May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for joining us today, and we'll see you next time.